is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A deadly ramming attack outside a synagogue in northern England. Police say two people were killed, including the suspect, and at least three others were hurt in the attack that's now labeled terrorism. This resident in Manchester, like others, are now in itch.
Everyone's concerned, everybody's worried, everybody's scared, and we shouldn't be scared to feel or believe in what we believe.
And this happening on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year for the Jewish community. On day two of the government shutdown, while Republicans are pushing for a clean funding bill, Democrats standing firm, demanding to be included in funding talks and insisting that any solution address their demands on health care. The Eiffel Tower closed today as thousands of protesters took to the streets across France. The protest part of nationwide strikes over expected budget cuts. Union leaders are calling for increased spending on public services and higher taxes for the wealthy. This is ABC News. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick is speaking out about convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. In an interview with the New York Post, Lutnick alleges that Epstein's high-profile associates knew of his behavior, and some even took part.
The Justice Department and the FBI are both saying that there is no credible evidence that Epstein blackmailed prominent individuals. But now, House Democrats, they are looking to speak with Lutnick. They want to know what he knows, where these theories are coming from. For example, Democratic Representative Robert Garcia, he said that if you're in the Trump administration and you're saying those comments so freely, you have to have more information.
ABC's Rena Roy. Six construction workers have been taken to the hospital after an explosion at a Houston hotel. Firefighters say a boiler issue led to a natural gas line bursting, blowing out windows, and sending debris crashing down to the street below. The hotel's been under construction. It's not yet open to the public. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Green. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks training camp is underway. General Manager John Horst was asked if he would confirm they're working on a new contract extension for A.J. Green.
First of all, yes, he's extension eligible. He is all season. Had a lot of conversations with A.J. and his agent. Good conversations. We'd love to have AJ with us, you know, for a long time, and we're able to work on that. We are working on that. No one works harder than AJ, high character individual, but I think he's really worked to earn that opportunity to be a high-level rotation guy for us. And, yeah, we're having the conversations. I hope we're able to figure something out.
NFL, the Packers' bye week continues. Matt LaFleur asked if he thinks he'll have left guard Aaron Banks or right tackle Zach Tom back from injuries when they host the Cincinnati Bengals next week.
We'll see. I don't know. I think it's still, you know, we're a ways out from that. So we'll have a better indication, I would say, Monday.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Thinking about heading to the theater this weekend? There is a nice variety of films headed to your local screen. What would Halloween season be without a ghost in the theaters? The ghost is Casper and compliments of a re-release from 1995 to commemorate the 30th anniversary of the mediocre film, which drew barely 50% fresh reviews, according to Rotten Tomatoes. Dwayne Johnson stars as UFC fighter Mark Kerr in The Smashing Machine, a historical drama that's pulling a 76% on Rotten Tomatoes. Bone Lake is a horror thriller that finds two couples spending a weekend sharing a lakeside home. The film is crushing with critics and currently pulling in 94% on the tomato meter. Good Boy follows canine hero Indy in this rated PG thriller that is also a critic's darling at 91%. It's hard to go wrong with a canine hero. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. The warm weather continues. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the low 60s. Sunny and hot Friday, high upper 80s. Breezy Saturday, high again upper 80s. Mid-80s Sunday, then cooler next week. Currently at 75 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome John Sabo from First Tee Wisconsin. And it's a bar band Friday night, so our Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr drops by with fun music and great chat.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we're going to start off right away here with our friend Rachel Dion Thunder of Indigenous Protectors Movement, and just catch up on the great work that's going on with Indigenous Protectors Movement and what's happening on the calendar. And I know we had a couple things happen this week, and I really would like to get some updates. Great to see you, Rachel, as always. It was great to see you at the Minneapolis Indian Center Party 250th Anniversary Gala.
Tansay, hi, Robert. Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me on, Robert. Always an honor to be on and be able to share with you, you know, some of the things that we're working on, but also just kind of, you know, like what's going on in community and being able to update community and also just Indian country, you know, because we're really small, and it can be powerful to get inspiration from other communities. You know, we take inspiration from other communities. You know, you hear about something happening somewhere and how maybe one community has a different strategy than your own. But I just want to say thanks for having me on. I do have my toddler here with me. So
yeah.
if you hear cartoons in the background or the occasional like little toddler tantrum, that's what's going on.
Well, we need a Native Miss Amy or whatever her name is. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Or Miss Rachel, or what is her name?
It's Miss Rachel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's a savior over here when we're watching our grandchildren. It's very interesting how glued they get to this person doing fairy tales and things like that. Hey, so we had a press conference. We had things happening this week. We also have our weekly meetings I'd love you to talk about. I'd like you to just take it away and for what you think is really first on your mind, and let our audience know what's happening.
Yeah. So I guess just for everybody just to kind of understand a little bit more. So my name is Rachel Dion Thunder. I'm Plains Cree, Nihio, based on Cree Nation. I live here in South Minneapolis. I'm American Indian Movement, second generation, and I'm one of the co-founders and the current vice president for the Indigenous Protector Movement. And so a lot of the work that we do at Indigenous Protector Movement is similar to American Indian Movement. it just had a little bit of a, it's just like the newer generation version, but we're still AIM, you know, still have that same spirit. And right now, one of our staff members, she's actually the community arts organizing coordinator for IPM, for Indigenous Protector Movement. She's also a community member. Her name is Isabel Lopez. She's facing 4 federal charges from a protest that occurred on June 3rd when ICE piggybacked onto a federal raid that was happening here in Minneapolis, in South Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And so this week on Monday, she was actually supposed to have her first evidentiary hearing here at the federal courthouse in downtown Minneapolis. And, you know, we had planned a pipe ceremony that Fred DeZarlay was running there, and ceremony and prayer and some speakers, and to do the hearing and then have a press conference right after to update the media and the public. And the feds, the FBI, this administration, they're really watching. I would tell, you know, people that they're watching more than you think. And they're watching all of our pages, and they saw all this planning. And so they actually canceled her hearing. They didn't just postpone it, they canceled it, and that they said that all evidence can be submitted virtually, which is kind of abnormal, you know, like especially for a case with so many charges. And we really know it was because of what they heard us organizing. And so we didn't let that stop it. You know, we still had the pipe ceremony down there in front of the federal building, still had speakers and a rally. And we had a good turnout. I'm really glad, you know, thankful for everybody that showed up down there. So now they've, you know, they're saying no more hearings or anything until her actual trial in November.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. That's... So, yeah, that's what's going on. And you know, like the U.S. attorney, he's getting a lot of like positive media attention right now because of how he is and like his office is cracking down on all the fraud that is happening here in Minnesota. And I think that it's important to be realistic about other things that his office is involved in, like this case. So, and kind of tied into this, you know, because like, and this is why we picked Indigenous in our name, mm-hmm. the Indigenous Protector Movement, is because we didn't want to just be like Indian or Native, because, you know, our people are older and geographically wider, you know, than just that limitation. We didn't cross these borders crossed us. They're a new thing. We have been here, and our people have been here in the Americas for thousands and thousands of years, and these borders are new compared to our stories, and that, you know, migration is our right. And just that, you know, this administration with the deployment of ICE and these militant actions, these fascist actions, are directly attacking that right that we have as Indigenous people and our right to migration, you know?
Right. To amplify it too, I agree, with our brothers of the South are the same people. We're all native to mm-hmm. this land, and there were no borders, as you were saying.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, and that goes along with what Leonard Peltier has been, you know, sharing, the American Indigenous Movement, which is going to be something that he's starting. And I just want to clear it up for everybody that he's not trying to end American Indian Movement. If you still want to run under American Indian Movement and be that patch, you know, you have every right to do that. Like, AIM will always be AIM. But if you want to be American Indigenous Movement, that's what he's doing, you know, to include everybody, to include all of our people. And that's not to like cast shame or disrespect on anybody that has been in the movement or sacrificed for the movement. you know, my family has and a lot of families have. I just want to clear that up because I think there's a little bit of misunderstanding around that, that he's somehow trying to get rid of the American Indian movement, and that's not true. I would argue that Leonard is about as American Indian movement as you can get, you know, and mm-hmm. just because you have one doesn't mean that you can't have the other as well. So why can't we have both?
Right. I saw him wearing some swag, and it had the same peace sign and face on it, but it just had a different mm-hmm. verbiage on it. And I'm not trading in my AIM stuff because I got a lot of it, but I definitely agree with you. And we've always talked about the next generation taking over things, and mm-hmm. and it just makes sense that we're thinking mm-hmm. this way.
Yeah, and you know, it's something that changes every generation. You know, our people used to everybody be okay being called Indian, and then nobody wanted to be called Indian, then everybody wanted to be Native, and then and now everybody is Indigenous. And so it shifts and it changes with the times, but that doesn't mean that the work and the spirit is different, right? I think that people get too caught up on the technicalities, and it shouldn't be that way. We can have it, all of us, be whatever we want to be, you know, as long as you're doing good and, you know, you're doing the right thing for yourself, your family, and your people. Like, what does it matter?
Absolutely. Hey, we're here with Rachel Dion Thunder, Vice President and Co-Founder of Indigenous Protectors Movement, and we'll be right back after this short break.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
Ever wonder how far you could go with a bachelor's or master's degree? Metro State University is hosting 2 open house events in October. Learn about their bachelor's degree programs on October 20th. Explore master's degrees and doctoral degrees on October 23rd. At the open house, you can attend a session about financial aid and receive help from financial aid staff. Discover how Metro State can help you take the next step in your career. Sign up today at metrostate.edu/openhouse. You belong at Metro.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in 4 directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support. Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of Indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We are here with our friend Rachel Dion Thunder, Vice President and Co-Founder of Indigenous Protectors Movement, and I really appreciate you bringing up that fact. I think about our people, and I mean, just in the continent of the U.S., there's 500 recognized tribes, and we all speak different languages. We all have similar things, but we all are one also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And so, like, as our organization, that message is exactly our focus for Indigenous Peoples Day this year. So on Indigenous Peoples Day, we're going to be hosting a pipe ceremony and have some speakers and a deployment of a very large banner at the Indian Center, so right before the powwow. So we invite everybody to come to that at 1. And so actually this coming Monday on the 6th, all day at the Indian Center from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., you can come stop by and come to the art studio upstairs and be a part of working on that banner. It's going to be a 60-foot by 15-foot banner that says the eagle and the condor fly together, and it's going to have an eagle and a condor, and we're going to unwrap that on Indigenous Peoples Day right there on Franklin Avenue and do that together as a community. And so we invite everybody to come out and be a part of that and to show that solidarity with our Indigenous relatives that are really being targeted right now by this administration.
Absolutely. Rachel, do you mind giving just a quick synopsis of the eagle and the condor, the story behind it?
Right. I don't know all the details of the story, but really the main story is that that when the people of the North, with the eagle, what the eagle represents, and when the people of the South that represent the condor, that when they come together, when they unite, that that will heal the earth and it will heal the people. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're getting closer and closer to that time and to that moment, you know?
Absolutely. Thank you for that. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. There's a couple things.
You didn't even pass me tobacco, Robert.
I gotta get that pouch ready during these live shows. I appreciate
pass
that.
Me the virtual tobacco.
Yes, good one. Hey, and I'd like that blanket for me in the background too.
Oh, it actually says Dion on it, so it literally has our name on it. So.
Oh,
well, sorry about that one, Robert.
So people that don't know, when natives like something on somebody, you're supposed to give it to them. But my comeback always is, well, this was a gift. I can't give it to you.
And, that was a gift. I gave it to my husband Vinny for his birthday.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. great. Well, and these are times I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing. Your husband's doing what you're doing. They're doing Indigenous Protectors doing what they're mm-hmm. doing. I really feel like we're not backing down. And part of the interesting thing is too, is there's a government shutdown going on right now. Mm-hmm. And part of me's going, that's cool.
But I'm kind of okay with that right now. Like, we can all take a breath. Just take a
yeah,
breath.
You know. What are they doing for us other than some bad things over the years? So I was like, oh, that's cool.
It's tough. It's tough, and you know, it doesn't. I don't know. I think that really, I think the real difference that happens, like the real difference that you can make, is the work that you do in the community that you live in. The real work happens from that person-to-person relationship building, community building, mm-hmm. the community healing, you know, healing in your family, changing, you know, shifting from multi-generational trauma to multi-generational healing and mm-hmm. being that generation that shifts it in a different direction for, you know, all of our generations to come. And you know, it doesn't matter like what policies are passed or what, you know, policing agency is patrolling around. When things happen in community, like it's community that takes care of it. And that, I can speak for that here, you know, you know, I don't know if you saw recently, Robert, I'm sure you did, but, this is just something for people to be on the lookout in their own communities. You know, a couple of years ago, they experienced this a lot, like in New Mexico and Arizona, of people representing fraudulent treatment centers. And
yes,
they would target negative relatives, you know, like they would there's a lot of red flags. Like, they will offer cash, they'll offer bottles of alcohol, they'll have girls with them vouching for them, you know, they'll say that they're going to put you on an airplane, they're buying you plane tickets, they're taking you to the beach. And so in New Mexico and Arizona, they really cracked down on this. Like, the federal government, the feds got involved and you know, cracked down hard, and they ended up doing policy change there at the states to get rid of some of those loopholes that these people were exploiting. But this week we had two individuals, two men, come here to community saying that, you know, going around to all of the our relatives that are out here, you know, telling them that, you know, they'll get them a plane ticket to go to Los Angeles, that they'll take them to the beach. Here's cash in hand, you know, go get your fix. You know, we know so-and-so, we have a treatment center in Oklahoma, you know, we'll take care of it. Closing out their insurance claims in one day. And so, like, all of these, like, very suspicious activities. And so
I'm so glad you're bringing this up, yeah. Rachel. Thank you.
So, yeah, communities need to be on high alert, not even specifically for these individuals. Even if these two guys don't come back, there will be others that come, because they're now looking for new communities to exploit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the very least, you know, like, we can't allow people that and companies that we don't vet to come into our community and solicit our people and take our people out of state or to these facilities that we don't even know where they are. Their families don't know where they are. There's no communication. You know, these guys, they had a flyer. When you scan the QR code, it didn't take you to anything. And there was like three different phone numbers listed on the flyer. One was for a Texas number, one was for an Oklahoma number, one was for a California number. They all three go straight to voicemail. And so just all of these red flags, like, you know, things that our families, our communities need to be aware of, but we need to, like, you know, educate our most vulnerable, our those that are in active addiction, that, you know, to not fall for these schemes, because, you know, at the very least, they're being exploited. And then there's also the issue of fraud, you know, of being involved in a fraud. Because what ends up happening is these fake treatment centers, or like minimal treatment centers, don't do what they say they're going to do, and they just repeatedly bill insurance over and over. And so that's where the fraudulent scam comes in. You know, and then I heard stories in New Mexico and Arizona where people would go, you know, like, they would agree to go to these places and, like, not come back, or, like, end up abandoned in another city. And so it makes it really hard to check on our relatives or even know if they're safe, you know, or if this is even, like, part of a trafficking scheme. So this is just something we really need to be on the lookout for here. I heard there was something similar, some guys in Bemidji trying to do the same thing, some in Panema trying to do the same thing. So it's definitely happening here in Minnesota, or it's trying to happen. But I believe in our people, and I believe in our communities here. And I think that once communities become educated and aware of this threat, that they're not going to let it continue.
Thank you so much for bringing that up. And I know we got less than a minute here, and I wanted to just bring up Sage in the City and get a shout out to what's going on there, because I know there's a very heavy duty episode coming up. And if you could tell our listeners where they could listen to that and see and watch that.
Yeah, there's a brand new episode is actually up today on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube for Sage in the City, which is a podcast run by the Indigenous Protect Your Movement interns, our youth. And so this episode is actually on missing murdered Indigenous relatives, and I really recommend that you check it out, give it a listen.
Yeah, definitely. Rachel, I really, really appreciate you stopping in. I know you're busy person. You're a doer. You and your family are doers, and I'm sure your daughter will be a doer too.
I think so.
Yeah, right on. She's, and again, it was great to see you at the 50th anniversary of the Minneapolis Indian Center Gala, and your family looking good. And whenever
it's always good to celebrate, not just fight all the time, right, Robert?
I was just going to say that. Thank you. I was just going to say that, and to do that and to celebrate for sure. Thank you so so much, and we'll see you again very soon.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A deadly ramming attack outside a synagogue in northern England. Police say two people were killed, including the suspect, and at least three others were hurt in the attack that's now labeled terrorism. This resident in Manchester, like others, are now in IH.
Everyone's concerned, everybody's worried, everybody's scared, and we shouldn't be scared to feel or believe in what we believe.
And this happening on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year for the Jewish community. On day two of the government shutdown, while Republicans are pushing for a clean funding bill, Democrats standing firm, demanding to be included in funding talks and insisting that any solution address their demands on health care. The Eiffel Tower closed today as thousands of protesters took to the streets across France. The protest part of nationwide strikes over expected budget cuts. Union leaders are calling for increased spending on public services and higher taxes for the wealthy. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
More green for green. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks training camp is underway. General Manager John Horst was asked if he would confirm they're working on a new contract extension for AJ Green.
First of all, yes, he's extension eligible. He is all season. Had a lot of conversations with AJ and his agent. Good conversations. We'd love to have AJ with us, you know, for a long time. And we're able to work on that. We are working on that. No one works harder than AJ. High character individual. But I think he's really worked to earn that opportunity to be a high-level rotation guy for us. And, you know, we're having the conversations, and I hope we're able to figure something out.
NFL, the Packers' bye week continues. Matt LaFleur asked if he thinks he'll have left guard Aaron Banks or right tackle Zach Tom back from injuries when they host the Cincinnati Bengals next week.
We'll see. I don't know. I think it's still, you know, we're ways out from that. So we'll have a better indication, I would say, Monday.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The great part is you just won $1 million on Wheel of Fortune, making yourself the biggest winner ever. The tough part? You filmed the episode in May and had to keep it a secret from your boyfriend and family for 4 months. 34-year-old Christina Derevyanik of Connecticut had just started dating the boyfriend and managed to keep everything on the QT. She held a watch party in Stamford, and her boyfriend found out while watching in Boston. Derevyanik also says, like most people who win a lot of money, she is not quitting her job, at least not until the boss refuses her raise. If you're looking for a film to watch at home this weekend, check out Caught Stealing. The Darren Aronofsky-directed film is a good caper about an ex-baseball player who gets mixed up with gangsters thanks to his goofy neighbor. The film stars Zoe Kravitz and Austin Butler, and it's definitely worth a look. Caught Stealing is now available to stream at home on video on demand. Check it out. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. The warm weather continues. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the low 60s. Sunny and hot Friday, high upper 80s. Breezy Saturday, high again upper 80s. Mid-80s Sunday, then cooler next week. Currently at 75 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You know what I'm a sucker for at a Chinese buffet?
Crab rangoons.
Yep. I'll have about four or five of those things.
And they have cocktail weenies, which is a nice delicacy at the Chinese buffet.
You know, I'm trying to think of a buffet I went to that had cocktail weenies.
Who's eating that?
I don't know.
Even if you have a gourmet recipe at home, you're not making cocktail weenies. You're certainly not eating them when you go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Todd Alba.
The World Dairy Expo is underway in Madison, and tariffs, how they're affecting agriculture. We'll discuss it all with Midwest Farm Report Director Pam Yonke next time.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back, everyone. I love...
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda. And
I gotta stop.
We love Jane Fonda. Yeah. I have something I want to say about her.
Really? Hey, yeah. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio. And it's always good to have a little gap here. I know when I do the bumper music, it always just defaults to playing it over and over and over again. So
it's good music.
It is. And got to hear Jane's voice again, which I got to meet and had asked her to do that and do a cool bumper. And it's always kind of fun to hear.
It is. Today on Facebook. So she's beautiful. First of all, she's wearing this unbelievable.
She's like 82 now.
She's 87.
So. What?
So here's her quote. Here's the quote. Yeah, she has this beautiful, shiny dress on, and she just looks fabulous. I'm 87 years old. I've seen war, repression, protest, and backlash. I've been celebrated, and I've been branded an enemy of the state. But I can tell you this. This is the most frightening moment of my life. Jane Fonda relaunches the Committee for the First Amendment and Free Speech Initiative. Yeah.
Initiative.
Yeah. Initiative. Jeez, I can't even read.
I have
the wheels on the bus go round and round stuck in my head because we had our grandchildren here all afternoon. So, the wheels on the bus are in my head. So, sorry about that. Your brain is mush.
Well, and, you know, speaking of mush, it's always very fun to take our dog. You know, we do the show from New York a lot and we live in New York. And Wanda travels with us.
Yeah, she does. She's a frequent flyer. So she's really cute. We have a little soft carrier that we put her on. She's a little dog, a little Shih Tzu, not even 10 pounds.
No.
And I take it out. As soon as she sees it, she like gets excited. Her tail starts wagging. I put it down on the floor and open it, the top of it. And she jumps right in and she sits there like, okay, let's go.
Well,
let's take it so long.
There's
Come
been
on.
Some disturbing things when you tell that story now that you had ChatGTP turn her into a human being.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Same hairdo.
So I asked, out of just curiosity, I sent a picture to ChatGTP, which is AI, artificial intelligence. And I said, can you make a picture of my dog as a whimsical fairy person and also a real person. Ooh. And oh my gosh. So the fairy whimsical person is just unbelievable. It's like probably like a 3-foot person with Wanda's hair and little wings on her back. And she's like standing on a chair and she's really cute. But the person is kind of creepy, really. It's like an old, sad looking woman. Like, I mean, I was like, geez, can't you just give her a little smile?
Well, I should reintroduce you too. This is Wendy with our sacred animal portion, and Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and she's also a co-founder of Native Roots Radio. So it's always great to have you on and talk about our sacred animals, which a lot of people just love when you talk about Wanda.
I know. I do. I love to talk about Wanda, but I'm not talking about Wanda this segment, right?
No,
I'm going to wait till
you do whatever. You're going to do whatever you want.
Yeah, we love Wanda. For those who do not know, Wanda was recently diagnosed with a collapsing trachea, which apparently is very common in little small breed dogs. So causes her to cough a lot. So she's on a couple of medications. So she's on an arthritis medication. She's on two medications to help her with inflammation and coughing, and just kind of keep her calm so she's not coughing a lot. But she's doing really well. She's doing great. And the doctor says she's doing fantastic. And she's on a really low dose of all the medications. So that's also a really good sign, knowing that these low doses are doing the trick.
Yeah.
You know, if it ever gets to the point where she's on the highest doses all day long, then we need to, we'll reevaluate. But she's doing really good.
Other than having a couple coughing fits a day, mm-hmm. which can, it's distressful because it's our person dog, it's our family member, mm-hmm. but she's doing great other than the few 20, 30 second bouts she has a day.
Sure. Usually in the morning, and then sometimes during the night too, she'll wake up and start coughing, but she's doing great. She's a happy little dog. We go for like at least two walks a day. She's slowed down a lot. She, on her paper, it says she's 15 years, 4 months old. But they have her put her birthday May. So she's May. But we're not really sure. She's a rescue. So they kind of make up a birthday. But we were told, Robert, when we adopted her, that she was 8. And we've had her over 8 years now.
Wow.
So that would make her 16.
We were told too that she wouldn't bark at me forever, and she has been.
She still walks like a puppy, like when we go for our walks.
Everyone's amazed when they hear how old she is.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people who see her think that she's a puppy. But there's a funny story. When I was in Long Beach walking her, there was a nice little couple, an older husband and wife, and they were just trying to make a conversation with me and ask me, oh, what a cute dog, she's so cute, and what kind of dog is she, and oh, how old is she, and just really friendly and very nice. And then the woman looks at me and she goes, "You two look alike."
Oh,
and I was
God.
Like, what? And it was so funny because Wanda is a black dog and she kind of has gray hair on her head, and she has a bright pink harness. And it's like a thick harness that we have around her back. Mm-hmm. And I had black shorts on and a bright pink shirt. So the same color pink as our harness. And I have gray hair. So oh my God.
We start looking like our dogs.
I do look like one.
My mom, Mary Pilot, looked like Cookie. They both had the same hairdo.
Well, Cookie was a Cookie was a poodle. So, and then Mary, your mom, God rest in peace, would get her little perms. Yeah. So they would take a picture.
And she had white hair too.
And it looked, they both had white hair.
Well, I never heard you laugh so much about
that. That looks hysterical because there is a picture with your mom holding Cookie, and it's like, oh my God, it looks like her child. She birthed a poodle.
A poodle named Cookie.
Yeah, a friend of mine in Long Beach, she just lost her dog, Scarlet.
You painted her.
I'm going to paint her. She sent me a picture. But poor Scarlet. Yeah, these dogs, they're like the death of us, really. Going in, we know that, they're going to go before us. And we know that, we know it's going to be like the worst heartbreak that we're going to have to bear. We know it going in, but we do it, we do it over and over again. And I just feel like the love that I feel and the happiness that I have. I mean, I laugh every day.
Yeah.
Wanda, I laugh every day.
These are times we need to laugh every day.
Yeah. And she's just like, I just love her so much. So I just feel like that way outweighs the heartache that we're gonna have, because I know it's coming. I know, and you can never prepare for it, even though like she's getting old, she's got some health issues, she's not walking as far as she used to, she's not staying up, and she's sleeping a little bit more than she used to. So
she used to walk on two legs like a human too for a long time until she hurt her legs.
She would stand up on her hind legs. Yeah, she did that for a really, she did that
Maybe we got a couple minutes. Maybe talk a little bit about her. I think we haven't in a long time, but she's pretty much fully recovered from her quad tendon.
She tore a quad tendon. Was it no, a quad tendon? Me. It was an ACL.
That was me.
She tore her ACL in her little ankle, her rear left. Oh, it was her knee, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember, but anyway.
That was
me too. Do you even remember how she did it?
I do.
Okay, tell me, because I can't remember.
You were out of town.
Oh, I was out of town. That's why I don't remember.
Yeah.
And I was out of town.
When she'd come in or you'd come in after being gone, she used to go crazy.
Yeah, she still does kind of.
Not as bad as then. Yeah. And she hurt herself.
She ran down the stairs or something, didn't
yeah.
she? Yeah. So she pulled a tendon she in her knee and she couldn't walk. She couldn't walk, and they did x-rays and they saw it, and it was just like, oh my gosh. But she limped around on three legs for a long time, and the doctor said it wasn't painful. It could be painful if she really put a lot of pressure on it, because she knew that she couldn't walk on it, so she just limped. She just walked around like a tripod dog. You ever see a tripod dog that only has three legs? That's what she did. But anyway, we brought her in, and you know, we had to give her the surgery because, you know, the one thing that Wanda loves to do more than anything in life is to walk.
Yeah.
So I couldn't deny her that. And the surgery was quite expensive. But for some reason, we had all these gift cards from Delta Airlines because they, I don't know what happened.
I got bumped off
the flight, and they gave me quite a few gift cards. So anyway, thank you, Delta, for helping to pay for Wanda's surgery.
Yeah.
But she healed up really well, and then she... Or I told the doctor, like I said, she's wild. She runs. She's crazy. So the doctor, they put some type of fishing wire in
to
there.
Hold it together, yeah.
And he said, I didn't put fishing wire for a 10-pound shih tzu. I used fishing wire thick enough that I would use like in a police German shepherd dog. And I was like, okay, great. Well, what happened? Running around, acting crazy, she tore and ripped
the fishing line.
And then she started limping again. And I was like, oh, no, we're going to have surgery again. So he just said, listen, you know, she's got enough scar tissue around. I did some, you know, I did some work on her knee and her kneecap.
Yeah.
So that could help. So let's just
carved a groove. In
yeah.
It
he
or
carved
something.
A groove. Let's just see what happens. Just let's not do another surgery. Let's just see what happens. And sure enough,
out of nowhere,
it really, really healed up well between what he did and the scar tissue, but it is, you know, you got to watch, you have to be careful.
She slowly got better and better, and yeah. I'd give you reports if you weren't home and say, I think she's walking on all four legs.
Yeah, and she's been doing great. She's been really doing fantastic. So I'm glad we had that surgery for her.
I'm glad we had that talk. People really have been reaching out and saying they like to hear Wanda talk. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be back.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Ever wonder how far you could go with a bachelor's or master's degree? Metro State University is hosting two open house events in October. Learn about their bachelor's degree programs on October 20th. Explore master's degrees and doctoral degrees on October 23rd. At the open house, you can attend a session about financial aid and receive help from financial aid staff. Discover how Metro State can help you take the next step in your career. Sign up today at metrostate.edu/openhouse. You belong at Metro.
All My Relations Arts presents Matrilineal Memory by Hopi artist Michaela Schaefer. This powerful exhibition blends painting, poetry, and installations, inviting reflections on memory, culture, and healing. Join us for the opening reception Thursday, October 16th, 6 to 8 p.m. at All My Relations Arts on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Matrilineal Memory runs October 16th through December 13th. Experience the unveiling of an exhibition that speaks to the heart. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
Hi, I'm Tiergan.
And I'm Hadley.
We're two of the very first listeners. And we're
still listening to Native Roots Radio.
That always cracks me up. Welcome back. This is Native Roots Radio, and just nothing but good thoughts. Listening to us for 9 years.
Yes, awesome.
Like that would be one fifth of my life.
I love that. In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our Minnesota and Wisconsin wolf populations. Say no to the hunts.
No.
No.
Hey, I want to reintroduce my awesome, beautiful wife. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many, many years, co-founder of Native Roots Radio, and also former host of Pilots Progressive Party. Glad to have you back on. People have been asking about you, and it's great to talk and learn like I have over the last 9 years on animal issues. Our sacred animals are relatives.
Yes, thank you, Robert. Hey, everybody, my name is Hanaji Hihani. That means heirs for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga. I am a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States. Yay! And I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It was my pleasure to do that. There was a rare pink bottlenose dolphin, affectionately nicknamed Pinky, was recently spotted in Louisiana's Calcasieu River, stunning boaters and exciting marine biologists. According to the Animals Around the Globe and Science SB Tech, Pinky is an albino dolphin, meaning she lacks melanin, the pigment that gives most dolphins their typical gray color. Instead, her skin appears bubblegum pink due to visible blood vessels just beneath the surface. You could go online and check it out, Louisiana Pinky. Pinky was first seen in 2007. But sightings have been extremely rare until her recent reappearance in 2025. Locals describe her as energetic and playful, even leaping out of the water near boats. Scientists from the University of Louisiana say her survival is remarkable as albino dolphins face challenges like increased visibility to predators and potential hearing or visual impairment. So, yeah, she's doing really good. I just hope, people like from SeaWorld don't come and get her and put her in a tank. So I hope everybody just leaves her alone.
So dolphins are so much like dogs, aren't they?
Yes.
Aren't they?
Absolutely.
I mean, big dogs.
They're really smart and they're really super intelligent. Well, I was talking the other day about that woman where she was on a boat and the boat sank and the dolphins, right, took her 200 miles into shore, carried her on their back.
We all need a good dolphin in
our life. Well, we're going to talk about another sea creature here.
Right.
Yeah, this is from the Facebook page called Loving Creatures and the Creatures at the end is a Z, so it's Loving Creatures. Yeah, off the coast of Portugal, a diver was busy with underwater repairs when he noticed an octopus hovering nearby. At first, he paid it no mind until the octopus began to help. Yes, what? Each time he reached for a wrench or dropped a bolt, a tentacle slid in, offering a back like a quiet partner from the deep. Yes, when he surfaced, no one believed him. So he set up cameras and captured the proof, an octopus calmly passing tools to a human. The footage went viral. This is another thing you could just go and look at and see it. So it's just crazy. Asked about it later, the diver just smiled and said, "I'm just glad I had a little help down there." And yeah, there's a picture of him. He's in his diving equipment, and the octopus scuba. Is there.
Scuba diver.
Thank you very much. Yeah. So, okay, here's another thing that's gone crazy on the internet. So at first, no one believed the photos of a raccoon riding on the back of a deer. Yes, this happened in Brockport, New York. It was surely fake, right? But then more evidence appeared. Trail cameras, blurry car window shots, even pictures snapped through living room curtains. Soon, hundreds of people claimed the same thing. A lone raccoon perched calmly atop a white-tailed deer gliding through the fields as if it was invented a new way to travel. Scientists studied the photo and confirmed it was not random. It was the same raccoon returning again and again to its strange habit. The deer never seemed to be bothered, gazing and walking as though carrying a passenger was just part of each day. Yeah.
Wow.
Experts admit they can't explain it. Maybe it's playful. Maybe it's practical. Maybe it's just proof that nature still finds ways to surprise us. So locals named the raccoon Cowboy and kids beg their parents to go for drives just to catch a glimpse. Artists are already turning the unlikely duo into sketches and murals.
Wow.
Yes, from disbelief to wonder, the story has become a legend. And out there somewhere, a raccoon may still be catching rides on the back of a deer. And there's pictures of the raccoon.
Why does that remind me of that chihuahua out there you talked about last week? I just had a picture of that chihuahua with the wolves.
Oh, yes. Isn't that hilarious? I know. Mickey seriously, hanging. Animals are crazy.
Yeah.
It's really just something else. There was this other thing that was posted I just want to talk about. So this dog, a big dog, I can't remember what kind of dog it is, but it was a big dog, and it had surgery, and it had one of those cones on its
cone of shame,
but it was laying down, and their cat missed the dog because the dog was gone, stayed in the hospital for a couple of days. Oh. So the dog came home and laid down, and the cat laid in the cone, licking and like hugging and rubbing this dog's face. It was just so, it was really, really cute.
Well, we witnessed something like that with our past princess and our past little dog. They used to love each other.
Yeah, I know. So, well, Gracie used to lick Wanda's face constantly.
Yeah. Now I have to do it to keep her eyes clean.
Yeah, we do. We do little wipes, but she doesn't like it as much as she liked Gracie doing it. Do I have time for another one?
Yes.
Did I talk about this? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
A squirrel of all things terrorizing California neighborhood. Did I talk about that?
I don't know, but it reminds me of, remember when we came from the, I had some young kids, a friend of mine's kids, we used to take to the Minnesota Twins opener, and we were coming in and
walked in the backyard and a squirrel jumped on his back. So anyway, a squirrel of all things is terrorizing a California neighborhood, attacking people and sending some to the ER.
Whoa.
Yes, residents in San Rafael, California, are being warned about a very mean squirrel that was sent at least two people to the emergency room in recent weeks. Flyers posted around Lucas Valley neighborhood describe a small but aggressive attacker that comes out of nowhere and has reportedly assaulted more than five people. Victims say the squirrel has leaped onto their legs and even faces, biting and scratching without warning. So wildlife experts believe the behavior is likely due to someone feeding the animal, right? Causing it to lose fear of humans and associate people with food. Lisa Bloch of Marin Humane says, while attacks appear to have stopped since mid-September, the agency is ready to step in if the squirrel resurfaces. Fortunately, squirrels are not known to carry rabies, but officials stress that feeding wild animals is dangerous both for the people and animals themselves. In the meantime, locals are staying alert and keeping their distance from overly friendly rodents.
Hey, great to have you on again.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, we'll get you set for the National League Division Series because we'll finally know who the Milwaukee Brewers are playing and when Game 1 gets started on Saturday.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for LaCrosse and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Soaring high above LaCrosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX LaCrosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. No sign that there will be any movement to end the government shutdown when the Senate's back in session tomorrow and the president hinting at government personnel cuts that could dwarf DOGE.
I'm allowed to cut things that should have never been approved in the first place, and I will probably do that.
While blaming Democrats for the shutdown, the White House saying prepare for mass firings of government workers. One suspect dead and three others are now in custody for a ramming attack outside of a synagogue in northern England. Police say one other person was killed and at least three others were hurt in the attack that's now labeled as terrorism. The suspect, a 35-year-old British citizen of Syrian descent. According to a confidential memo obtained by ABC News, President Trump has determined that the United States is